Taylor, you don't strike me as the sort of guy that gets that worked up about that. More like quiet resignation, like, oh, man,
I said good morning to him. He's like, screw you.
You're not. You don't strike me as a super emotional sports fan.
Number four is higher than it's been in a long time, so I'm optimistic.
Why?
What else can I be?
Be optimistic, bro. You're good. You're good.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be. I'm just saying I don't know where the optimism springs from. Right. I just want to know where it comes from. Like, if every day you walk through the door and someone slapped your face, and the next day you come through, you're like, I don't think it's going to happen today. You're like, I'm going to get ready to get slapped in the face.
Just got to hope for the best. I hope for the plan. That's all I'm hoping for.
Pissed this morning.
What is the plan up there?
The play-in.
Oh, the play-in.
The play-in.
But you said you were hoping for the play-in.
The plan for the play-in, yeah. It's happening.
Hey, you know what? If we get really hot towards the end of the season, we can slide into that 10th place
spot. Everybody else gets injured.
We can go do it. Right. That's about what it would have to be. Lakers,
got into the 10th spot.
I guess if anything good happened to Lakers yesterday, it's that they didn't get the number one pick and have to turn it over to New Orleans. That they just kind of sit here with eighth, right? I think that's where New Orleans landed.
It's funny. Every time they show that, it says via Lakers. I know. Okay, you don't have. Okay, we got it.
We got it.
We understand where they got the pick from.
And then the next one, and the one after that, and the one after that. They should save that graphic. They're going to want to use that again for upcoming seasons. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com.
They'll put a banner up for that, too.
Got to start somewhere, right? Just a placeholder. We're going to hang the banners over here. In the meantime, these are the picks we've got from the Lakers.
So I decided yesterday, I'm like, I'm going for a little bit of a hike, right? Not all the time, but
if phone
was in the car, just ready for somebody to take. I'm going to go for a hike. Altadena, you know, up in that area. It's actually beautiful. Yeah, really nice up there. So I go up, and if you take Lake all the way up, mm-hmm. there's an area you can park, and you're basically on a trail.
Okay.
I've done the trail before.
Take the dog with you?
Take the dog.
Okay.
A little boring. You just kind of, I haven't gone very deep, but I've just kind of, you know, and I wanted something that's going to be more inclined. So right when I started, I could see that somebody has obviously made a path. You're going to go incline, and you're basically just going to go incline, and you're going to catch the trail on the other end. So I do that. I just basically go up. Rookie's got no idea what's going on, but it's.
So you're off trail at this point? You're just slugging through the bushes?
No, it's. There's a trail, but it's more of like a, you could tell people have just been taking this on their own.
Okay.
If it rains, it's going to come down through this way. So there's a little bit of a trail there.
Okay.
Right? Granted that you got a lot of stuff around you. I take it all the way up, and it's basically just incline, and it takes me to where there's now a bench, and now you're on the trail. And I'm like, okay, that was cool. But I'm like, that didn't take very long. And I'm looking up, and I'm like, okay, well, let's now take the next one. So you start going up. And look, it's kind of funny because this little guy, 14, 15 months, right? So for him, a lot of this is all still new. But he's a freaking dog. So where I'm having trouble, he's like, you coming or not? You know, like it's one of those. I start going up and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to catch a trail. I get up over the next hill. And I'm like, there's no trail here. There's just land. And I'm like, okay, well, over that hill.
Is it a hard walk? Or like, do you have to watch where you're stepping?
And
Yeah, okay.
You got to watch where you're stepping only because it's an incline. By the way, the incline I'm not worried about. All I want to do is just catch a trail. It's coming down. That would be the problem. Coming down, it's like that. That's a lot more difficult
sure.
to
take a
maneuver.
Bad step and you're
something
rolling
along
down
those
the
lines.
Hill.
So I go up another hill, get up the other hill. Still no trail. And I'm looking around.
How long have you been walking?
20 minutes uphill.
Oh, 20 minutes. Okay.
20 minutes. Like, think about it. That's decent.
It's a decent
right?
amount
like,
of time.
Just walking
yeah, oh, for
uphill.
Sure.
I'm sweating too.
Any point you're thinking, I'm lost?
No. It's almost impossible to get lost because
okay.
I look over to my right and I could see somebody on a trail all the way over there.
You can see another person.
I look everything that I just walked up. I'm overlooking Pasadena. I'm overlooking Altadena, that whole area. Go up another hill. I reach the point where I'm like, yeah, there ain't a trail coming.
Did you end up in Palmdale?
I gotta go back down.
did you get up and over the hills?
I stopped in Joshua Tree.
So, Alan, download All Trails on your phone, and then you'll never miss a trail again.
I can't do that.
He's like Magellan.
Yeah. Or,
Lewis and Clark. He's just gone his own. I
started eating vegetation to just kind of see the climate that I'm in and what the weather was going to be like overnight.
Did you have Sacagawea with you kind of showing you the way?
There's a baseball field or like a softball field not too far from there. So the whole time that I'm going up, I just hear like parents cheering. So it's not like I'm completely lost. On the way down, bro, it's interesting on your way down. There are plenty of times where I'm like, yeah, I can't walk this. I'm going to have to sit on my
slide,
kind of go down a little bit. And Rookie again was just running around like, you coming or what are we doing here?
You should go back. You should go a little further. Go a little further.
I will go back, but I'm going to actually take the trail this time.
Probably
enough incline.
Not a bad idea. I was wondering when this was going to happen. I saw him tweet about it. I don't know if it was last night or earlier this morning, but John Huntington Beach of Fullerton, one of the Travis Lee All-Stars.
Every Wednesday, yeah.
Our weekly Angels update. What do you got for us, John?
Hey, colleagues, how you doing?
Hello, colleague.
Good, man. Well. Looking forward to seeing you soon at the next holiday party.
Absolutely. So, Trav, just one thing, and you can share it with Alan and the team offline, but be careful with the day game. Day games are great. They're honestly my favorite, but the day game is where the Hooters incident happened after, so just be careful.
Yeah, okay? Thank you for the heads up. I'll let them know what that means a little later on, but I've been advised. Thank you.
All right, good. And so you guys asked the question the other day, like, are the Angels good? And, you know, I have an answer for that. I hope so. Maybe. Please. So a sign of a good team is beating the teams you're supposed to, but they just lost to the Rangers twice. So Orioles, so I'm starting to get the Angels pessimism back.
Trade everybody.
Yeah, they've lucked out. You know, beginning of the season they made a surprise move because Upton was raking in spring training, but they DFA'd him for Adele. But they tried to pull the little league special of hiding your defensive liability in the outfield, but in the big leagues, the ball tends to get hit out there, so
it does.
That didn't really work out.
Yeah, you can hide a guy in right field in little league, not so much in the major leagues.
Exactly. And over this past week, I'm just glad Rendon has pulled himself in the Mendoza line. Especially after he cracked the Angel fans with go check my national highlights. So easy there, Pujols 2.0. I mean, something to keep an eye on, but he really hasn't met our expectations. I speak for all Angels Nation, so you can bookmark that. And Trev, one question I have on you on the roster, how stoked are you that they have a reliever with the name of Bear Claw?
Look, I'm not a huge donut guy, but why not? A Bear Claw every once in a while is not so bad, whether it's out of the bullpen or whether it's somewhere else. That's fine. Thank you, John.
You for your time. We appreciate it every Wednesday. And, he finds to find time out of his schedule to do this. It's greatly appreciated.
He's one of our colleagues, a peer, if you will. Yeah. I asked you this yesterday, and you're like, well, right now. Like what he was just describing about the Angels. The Rangers are not particularly good. The Angels dropped a couple. It's kind of the same way I feel about the Dodgers losing 3 out of 4 to the Phillies. You don't love it, but I don't know, man. The Angels look pretty good to me, but I'm still not to that point where I buy them. I need to wait. Like the Dodgers, I'm convinced that they're good. Mm-hmm. So if they have a bad patch, I don't sweat it too much. If the Angels have a bad patch, it's like, well, yeah, maybe not good.
Yeah,
I don't know. Syndergaard got beat around the other day. Reed Detmers wasn't quite as good as he was the time before. You just don't know with them. Familiarity makes you comfortable with things, right? The Dodgers have a couple of bad games. You don't worry about it too much. If the Angels have a couple of bad games, you start thinking, here we go again.
Let me give you a perfect example. Top of the AL right now, top 4 teams in the American League. Mm-hmm. If I said, hey, you could pick 3 of these teams to go make a playoff run, okay? Yankees.
Sure.
Astros.
Sure.
Angels.
Maybe.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
The reason why I put it that way is because all those other teams, they've been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They've made runs, or they have a history of whatever you want to call it. Angels are the one where you're like, well, you got to kind of show people that, no, you're going to be in the mix by the time July 1st comes. You're going to be in this position by the time September 1st comes, and they haven't proved that yet.
When Walker Buehler has a bad game, you don't say, okay, is this the beginning of the end? Because he's had way more good games than he has bad games. Same
thing today as an example. His last start for Buehler, what are you expecting tonight or this afternoon?
I think he'll pitch six or seven innings and give up a run or two, right? That's what he does. The Angel guys are either young and inexperienced, and you're not quite sure what they are, or they're guys like Syndergaard coming off injuries who have been good previously, but I don't know. I mean, all sorts of guys that have little moments come back, and then they backslide, and they come back, and they kind of flatten out at some point or another. I need to see them play another 50 games before I can decide whether their offense is good with Trout and Ohtani and Walsh and, you know, Rendon hopefully can get going at some point because he's a good player. He hasn't been very good for the Angels, but You got to show me more than, hey, we had a good month. Okay, cool. I believe in Trout. I believe in Ohtani. The rest of it is, I don't know what you guys are doing out there. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not. Maybe Noah Syndergaard won't pitch well again the rest of the season. It's not totally out of the realm of possibility. That's what you get with a team that's new to being good.
I feel like you caved into Cates on the pineapple thing.
Nah. I like them both.
A good watermelon is not better than a good pineapple. The best watermelon standing next to the best pineapple.
Oh, I think it's going to have to be a pineapple.
Really?
Just barely. There, yeah.
I agree.
It's just barely. But we're taking the whole thing. We just go best for best, right? That's one thing. But if you go average for average, pineapple's going to win that fight.
No, I take watermelon. Yeah, you get all day.
One out of every three or four watermelons is really super
average.
And if
average. I'm picking it, 80% of them are bad.
You'd bring your phone. You'll have the pictures.
I haven't had a phone since 2019. I got rid of my phone.
I can see you with the Zach Morris one from Saved by the Bell where you pull the antenna out.
How baller was that back in the day?
I had that thing. It was the first cell phone I ever had that opened.
How about the car phones?
Oh, yeah. Actually connected to the car with a little squiggly thing out of the top. All right, speaking of Zach Morris, it's not Saved by the Bell related, but it is 90s TV related, and I'm going to spend some of your money. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So Mark Spears, who is one of my favorite NBA guys, he's terrific, has, according to him, per Mark Spears, Chris Paul is strongly considering retirement. You buy that? I don't.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm not saying Mark Spears is making it up. I'm saying that Chris Paul may be considering. I'd be shocked if Chris Paul doesn't come back and play in the NBA next year. Shocked.
Yeah, I want to see what he has left on his contract. He did sign another. He
I want to say it's two more years. I think it's two more, Slee. But check it.
So this is what you got to ask yourself. He's got 3 years left. You'd be walking away from $28 million. He's got $30 million owed. Another 30 in 2024. I'm with you on the finances part. And listen, as much as we kind of went after Chris Paul these last...
He's owed $88 million. He's not leaving.
He's not going anywhere. But let's put the money to the side for a second, which...
Can you?
I know. You can't. Yeah. No, you can't. That's it's Russ this upcoming year where they're like, well, you think he'll pick up that $47 million option? No, I think he'll want $18 million and then help the Lakers. That ain't happening.
Sure.
But as much as we went at Chris Paul, it's not like the Phoenix Suns. If the Phoenix Suns next year, if I told you that, hey, they're back in the Western Conference Finals, would you be shocked? I wouldn't be shocked. So I think a part of this also has to do with it's not like their run is over. It's not like they can't compete. They could still compete. Now, will they need some stuff to go their way and everything else? And there's $80-plus million. I find it hard to believe he'd walk away from all that.
It's funny. I do this. I'm guilty of this. That when you see these guys on TV as often as you have, especially a player like Chris Paul, who's been a part of our sports life for 15 years, right? That you stop thinking about him as a guy. You just think about him as like a TV character on your favorite TV show. Chris Paul, I love the NBA. Chris Paul is one of the stars of my favorite NBA TV show, right? That Of course he feels like you know what right now. Of course he realized this was probably his best chance, right? And if it wasn't this year, it was last year when they were up 2-0 in the finals.
I think last year, yeah.
He was the number one seed. They had 8 more wins than the next best team in the NBA. Home court advantage, blah, 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 blah. And they blew it. They blew a 3-2 lead, and they got humiliated in Game 7.
He was awful in his last 4 games.
Yes, and Game 7 was about as embarrassing a situation as you can find yourself in as a professional athlete, where you are non-competitive on the biggest moment. Of course he feels like crap. Of course he probably somewhere is like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. We all feel it. When something terrible happens, that's the normal response, right? Man, I don't want to do this anymore. And then a little time goes by, you're like, all right, I'm ready to go again. Never mind the $88 million. Never mind the Suns going into next season. Suns will be one of the favorites to be near the top of the Western Conference. They will be. Now, and there's this whole point of it too. Think about the way that we talk about Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley and Reggie Miller, and I'm sure I'm leaving out a couple of others, right? The way we talk about
Karl Malone,
there
Dan
you go.
Marino, let's go to some of the
sure.
other sports.
All of those guys. The way you talk about Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, even guys like Kenny Smith on the show are like, hey, man, I got it. I found a way to get it done. Having Hakeem helps a little bit, I understand. But there are two really distinct categories. You are either a member of this club or you're not. Mm-hmm. He's clearly in the wrong camp right now. And knowing that you could get out of it, that you just need to catch lightning in a bottle one time, you got a good team, and he's not going anywhere.
Well, listen, let's see what happens, but I'm with you. I don't believe he would. If the circumstance was a lot different, if this was, let's say he just finished a contract, his contract was up, and now it's your Carmelo Anthony type of a role, you're going to get the minimum, that makes more sense. He's got too much money attached to him, and I'll go back to it, your squad is not, it's not a trash squad. It's
no.
A good squad.
No, you said something important. I don't mean to be disrespectful to Carmelo, but Carmelo is not an impact player in the NBA anymore. He's not. He's a useful player. You can use him, but he's not one of the best players on the court. Chris Paul still is.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is not a guy playing out the string of his NBA life. He's still arguably the best point guard in the NBA. Why? This is a, hey, buddy, come on. We love you. Give it one more shot. I'm feeling down, and I need a little love. I need somebody to tell me that I'm pretty again.
You know
that's what this is.
You know what this makes me think of? Duval Jameson on Twitter, if you hit a watermelon, slap it with a flat hand and it feels like it's about to burst, it's ripe.
Okay. It makes sense, but
none of it connects.
I've never slapped a watermelon and thought, ooh, that almost cracked in half. That must be ripe.
I did at Costco slap it and kind of did it to where I was hoping other people would look. Like maybe they would ask me too, hey, can you help me pick the right watermelon? But it was the first watermelon I grabbed and I just put it in.
Do you have a Full House in your repertoire? When you were watching TV as a kid, was Full House part of what you did? Bob Saget, that whole show?
What
did you like
it,
that?
TGI Fridays.
I think that's what it was.
Family Matters.
What was the one with the tool guy? Home Improvement.
Home Improvement.
I think that was part of it. Yeah. So you watched it.
Yeah.
You are in the real estate market, maybe just thinking, maybe I'd like to buy a home. Just, you know, see if I can get that part of my
life
started.
Right now is a steal. So right now the home prices are so low.
I mean,
and interest rates are so low.
Expensive time. Yeah. Interest rates are going the wrong way. But look, if you wait for the perfect time, you're never going to pull the trigger. Sometimes you just got to go and hope that, you know, you catch it right. Because if you wait for that perfect moment,
it will never happen.
You got $37 million burning a hole in your pocket. The Full House in San Francisco is on the market for $37 million. Now, here's the weird part. According to property records, it sold fairly recently. It sold last November for $5 million. How did it go up $32 million in price in what would be roughly 7 months? How did that happen?
Well, according to Zillow, looks like the San Francisco home is not on the market for $37 million after all.
Oh, boo.
Zillow released a statement on Wednesday saying that a listing on the site for the iconic home was illegitimate.
What legitimate? Electronically legitimate? Illegitimate?
I can't say it anymore. I can't say it anymore.
Ill, like you're sick?
Yeah.
Illegitimate.
Well, it's only started with ILL is the way you spell it.
Illegitimate. There you
and
go.
And has been removed from the site. Maybe we're kind of
basically what I'm hearing is you just had a $32 million price reduction. It's a buyer's market now.
Do you ever do this where you're looking you know, I don't know if you got Redfin on your phone or any of those, and you're looking at it, and literally the price, like they missed a zero, or like something so critical, and all this agent has to do is just make sure the information's right, and it's like, oh no, it just says that it's a 10,000 square foot home, not a 1,000 square foot home.
Is there a difference?
This two bed, two bath is actually a 10,000 square foot home.
Why is this 10,000 square foot home in Laguna Beach overlooking the ocean? Why is it $900,000? Oh, no, it's $90 million. Yeah, no, we put the decimal in the wrong spot.
Don't worry about that.
It's fine. Iconic TV house. Get whatever you want. What are you getting? You can buy whatever you want. You're buy this one. You could buy.
I know you're going to say, "Oh, well, of course you're going to say that." But the
Bel
Air house is.
You're going to Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv's spot in Bel Air.
It's not a bad spot.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's a bad choice.
What are the other iconic ones?
There, I mean, pick your real estate. It could be maybe we open it up. It doesn't have to be a house. It could be a location. You could buy Jerry Seinfeld's apartment.
How about Married with Children's home?
Where was that show set? Chicago?
I don't know where it was set.
I think Pittsburgh.
I don't know where it was set.
I want to say Chicago, but
it was
I could be wrong.
A basic home. Like, yeah. It was perfect. Right? You come out of the garage, and the garage directly into the living room. Like, it was just a basic.
Kitchen was in the living room.
Exactly.
I have one.
The most basic home.
Hannah Montana's home in Hannah, Montana. She lives in Malibu. She's right on the beach. Fantastic. If I was going to go, like, kitschy, like, if I was actually maybe could even afford this place, would be the house of Breaking Bad. Walter White's house in Breaking Bad. I could maybe afford that house. Only because
Albuquerque's cheaper than Malibu.
I drove by the
house?
Yeah.
In Albuquerque? Mm-hmm. Did you really?
Did you throw a pizza on top? Like everyone else
I knew
does?
That that's a thing that they do.
Because there's a fence around
it
now?
It was straight up. It was fenced off. Yeah, it was completely fenced off.
Because people weren't throwing pizzas on it.
Gated off, you could say, right? So you have all these homes. This is not, you don't have a gate in front of this house. Like, that's not how this house is. And this one has a gate because, like you mentioned, people throwing pizzas up there.
Not a gate and not a fence exactly, but one of the more iconic facades of TV residences was the Brady Bunch, 60s and 70s, yeah. Right? It's here in the Valley. And it's not hard to find, but when you go, it's been renovated. You can barely kind of, oh, I kind of see how they did it, but it's not far from here, actually. You could be there in a half an hour. I did it one time. I'm like, I got to see this place because I'm like, really? Like, this is a super letdown.
Albuquerque
didn't work at all.
You could drive by the car wash, the Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's not a set. That's a real place.
Kind of cool.
The Freddy Krueger houses in South Pass. A lot of famous houses are in South Pass.
Yeah, they're kind of like stately. And the houses in South Pass in certain parts.
Pasadena.
Yeah, Pasadena could be anywhere, right?
There's less palm trees.
Set it for California. You could set it for the Midwest. I think the Father of the Bride house is in San Marino or something like that. These are the places that you can. There's like, what about the Cheers bar? Be a fun place to hang out. Have your boys over, have a few beers, tell a few stories.
Trying to think here. What are the other? Okay, Cheers is one iconic bar. What's another iconic coming from a show?
The Friends Cafe.
That's right. The Friends Cafe.
Yeah, but you'd have to presumably hang out with those miserable people. My miserable. What about the coffee shop where Jerry Seinfeld goes?
I'm not a crazy. That's fantastic too. Yeah. I'm not a crazy Friends guy, but you make it sound like it's the worst show ever.
I'm not saying it's the worst show ever. I'm just saying I didn't really care for it.
Just not funny.
I just didn't really
care. They do have nice apartments, though, in the show.
Yeah. They were all struggling to make ends meet, but they
had his
8,000 square foot apartments.
Rent control.
Paleontologist.
Yeah, he was a dinosaur guy. Hi. That's the show. Could you be sitting there drinking more coffee? That's the show. Now, I'm not saying they weren't creative to make $1 trillion off of it. I respect the hustle.
They made $1 trillion.
I know they did. I respect the hustle. I'm just saying that my wife really liked that show.
Did you ever watch that, was it that 70s show?
I don't get to finish my story.
The basement in that 70s show.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
And I want the thing that spins that we can do the camera. We can be on Slee, it can be on Taylor, it can be on Emily.
So your wife loved the show?
Yes.
Yet you, so I, would you know, watch it with her or
yeah.
no?
Yeah, I've seen... I don't know how many episodes of that show are, a couple hundred probably, right?
Definitely more than 100.
Yeah, I've probably seen 30 or 40 episodes, maybe more. And it's occasionally it'd give you a little chuckle, but that's what it, so she hates watching TV with me now because she will laugh at something and I will sit there stone-faced.
With nothing?
Nothing. She's like, are you watching? Yeah, I'm watching. You didn't say anything. I didn't think it was good. I didn't think it was funny. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do? All right, Slee. What else do you want to talk about today?
I want to talk about your... For those who didn't get to hear a little bit earlier, you're about to be at a Dodger game in about an hour, and you're gonna you're gonna walk through. What time you be walking?
I'm thinking if I get in there before 2, I think it's a win.
That's definitely a win. Okay, yeah. So you miss inning and a half.
Yeah, if I get there before 2, because we're done at 1:15 mm-hmm. or 1:12, excuse me.
1:12
takes me a few minutes to collect and get down, drive over there. I got to park, got to walk in. I think if I'm there before 2, that's pretty good.
Your boy Danny Green was going after. I think there's a few NBA players that have gone after Pat Bev. I don't know. You saw some of those tweets from Damian Lillard.
I saw the Lillard. I haven't seen Danny Green. We'll talk about him because look, Pat Beverly is entertaining, but at some point it's like enough is enough, my man. Enough. Like you can't be that outrageous with that amount of game. They're not.
Tell
they're
ESPN
not
that.
Equitable.
I think he's going to sign.
It's different. They're not asking him to play baseball or basketball. They're asking him to be on TV.
But it's kind of the same thing.
No, it's different. We'll explain the differences next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Seem like you're all right.
I actually feel better than before the disinfectant.
Two hours, 45 minutes ago when you took
your
shot.
You see what I'm saying? I feel like
shot.
I got more fuel because of the disinfectant.
Cleared you out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look fine. Your color's better again. You didn't ingest
my lungs
any
were
poison.
Done.
You're back. You're ready to go. One vote for your Bel Air house. They like that. That's from Hovick. He's got your back. Dylan McKay's Craftsman House in 90210. Really good choice. Beverly Hills Craftsman. 2.5 Men has gotten a lot of votes for that. I don't know that house. Somebody want to help? I've never seen that show.
It's a nice pad.
It's in Malibu, I think.
Okay. Oh, it is?
Doesn't he live in Malibu?
So basically Hannah Montana.
I don't know either one of those. So I know Malibu. What's Charlie got going in that 2.5 Men shack? Do you not watch that show, Sleep?
Just a no. Beach.
That's not
house.
Your thing? Okay, well, that's not bad. The basement there, and there's one more that I wanted to read here. Fast and Furious House. Sleep, that's your jam. What's that all about?
Fast and Furious House?
Isn't that about cars?
Isn't there multiple
is there
houses?
Like a, is there like a mobile know. Home or something?
Let's do
an
It's
RV?
Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where they're all just piled in
terrible places to live.
Here's yep. another one. Tom in Santa Barbara. Tom, you're on with Travis Sleep. What do you got, Tom?
Hey, I'm surprised you guys haven't thought of this, but I'll give you a little setup. You live with two really good-looking women within walking distance of the Regal Beagle.
Yeah.
I want to live in Three's Company apartment, man.
Not bad. But then you got Mr. Roper and Mr. Furley in your business. I don't know if we really need that going
on. Fine. Yeah, you got to have some knots around or something.
Dude, Mr. Furley was kind of a busybody. Mr. Roper was an intolerant guy. The rules have changed now. I don't know if those guys would be okay with what's going on up there right now.
Jack Tripper had it made, if you ask me.
Yeah, he had it pretty good. Thank you, Tom. You're looking at me, Slee. You're not a Three's Company guy?
No, that's a good one.
Yeah?
That's a good setup right there.
The Regal Beagle was kind of depressing.
Can we take the Sopranos house? Can we take
See, that doesn't really... That's kind of like... Okay, let's talk about this for a second. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, big... Nice neighborhood, nice pool,
very nice
media room, very and completely devoid of any sort of character, right? It's just a big giant house mm-hmm. with stuff in it, which was Tony's entire deal.
How about Larry David's house?
Oh yeah, now we're talking.
Now the curb talking. House,
yeah, not bad.
Yeah, it's a good one.
The that's Walshes cool. in 90210.
No, that's a good one.
Jim and Cindy. That was a nice home. Very warm, inviting. Mrs. Walsh would always have something cooking on the stove. You'd come in. She'd give you a little sandwich. You'd feel pretty good about it. Maybe give you a Coke on your way out the door. It sounds nice.
I wish our facility here was like The Office. It was exactly like The Office.
Who's the boss? Is Amanda got the world's best boss mug? Does she have the Dundee on her desk?
Yep.
Is that how that goes? Here's another one. Bellflower. Ruben, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
How you doing, guys?
All right.
I want to live in the Silver Spoons Mansion and ride that little train around everywhere.
is Alfonso Ribeiro your best friend in this situation? Is he your guy that you hang out with?
Of course he is. We've danced with Michael Jackson and all that stuff.
That's pretty good. Do you know that show, Slee? That's
no,
that's.
I never watched it.
So Ricky Schroeder was mm-hmm. the, was he an adopted kid or like an estranged kid? Or he goes to live with his dad who is a multi-zillionaire and they have a train through the living room. Yeah. Little rideable train that you'd sit on like at the mall.
It's not bad right
you
there.
You know, like oh, you yeah, the yeah, kiddie yeah. train? You want that? You should get when little Slees start popping around, you should get
just
him
get
a train.
Get a little train. Get him a little train.
All right. Danny Green talking to Patrick Beverly. People target you too, Pat Bev. You ain't playing no bleeping defense out there. You ain't stopping Luka. Time to time, I hear Luka call you. This is hard to read with all the asterisks in there. Little man, and say he's too bleeping small and go right. And at everything, I'm killing this. But Danny Green is basically saying, dude, chill out.
By the way, Dame was doing this. Yes. There were a couple of Matt Barnes was doing it. There were a couple of players
the guys that are just saying, dude, we get it. You fill a role. You're an important player that does a couple of important things along the way, but you need to calm down that you are the answer to every question that every NBA team has. Danny Green is a champion, right? Damian Lillard is a Hall of Famer. These are guys who are like, dude, stop with
Chris
this.
Paul.
Right? Chris Same Paul thing. Is another good example.
But aren't these guys all falling into the trap of Patrick Beverley?
Perhaps.
Because I feel like it's the equivalent.
But it's different if Trav and Slee say Pat Beverley. If your contemporaries are saying, dude, you ain't about this.
I agree with that. But when I say fall in a trap, let me give an example. You're playing in a basketball game and Patrick Beverley's getting under your skin and you get a technical foul. That's kind of what Pat Beverley does. That's his entire identity is, can I get under the skin of somebody else? So almost in front of a mic, he's doing the same thing that he would do on the floor. I get what you're saying of like, okay, yeah, but he's not, let's stop pretending like this guy's a Hall of Famer and his word is stone. That part makes sense, but it's what he's doing. He's agitating off the floor like he does on the floor.
But the difference, my difference is, this is silly. The stuff on the floor works, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he does get under people's skin. It does make a difference.
What's the silly piece?
Just it's the amount of attention it's drawing is disproportionate to the person that sang it. If Damian Lillard said these things, like, whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. But it's Pat Bev. He's an NBA guy. Bounced around a little bit. He's okay. It's like,
can I give you an example? Let's look at a lot of these guys that run their mouth on a day-to-day basis. Is J.J. Redick some guy that you're like, oh,
but
watch out when J.J.
says that? His
Kendrick
is much
Perkins.
More
like, there are guys.
Kendrick Perkins accomplished a lot more than Patrick Beverley ever did.
Are we going to make sound like Kendrick Perkins is
no,
this
but he was
player?
On teams that went to finals. He was on teams.
Was
that
it because
really
of Kendrick
good.
Perkins?
No. Mm. But he was around it. He knows what it looks like. He's never been even around it.
You hear the point that I'm saying is that a Kendrick Perkins and a Patrick Beverley.
I think there's a difference.
From a player perspective?
No, from a credibility perspective.
You're saying, so the argument here is Kendrick Perkins, if he says something, you think holds a lot more weight than Patrick Beverley?
Yeah, I do.
Taylor, do you agree with that? Do you think there's that much of a difference?
Around.
In Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah.
I think he kind of lucked out on the teams he was on.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that they were there because of him, but when you've been around LeBron James and seen how that works, when you've been around Kevin Durant and seen how that works, it's like, yeah, I know it when I see it. Not, I don't have it, but I know it when I see it. If I played for the Yankees, okay, and all of a sudden I've been around all of these things, and then I had nothing to do with it, I have more credibility than somebody that played for the Diamondbacks for a year. It's like, what do you know about this?
I disagree. I just disagree with those two players as a comparison. I think there's plenty of former players that talk with a mic in front of their mouth that say things that you're kind of like, okay, well,
nothing
we're
like
questioning
give me
their credibility.
Give me another guy that runs his mouth like Patrick Beverley.
Patrick Beverley's been on a mic for 3 days.
Right, that's what I mean. I mean, he's good at it. These are different topics. He's very good at it, but no one says what he said about Chris Paul. Nobody says that. Nobody says what.
Then
he
why were we playing what he was saying a couple days ago?
It's different
and mounting right on top of it.
It's different.
We're sitting there and kind of doing the same thing. We were piling on.
It's our job. That's our job.
So it's his opinion. His opinion, and we're piling on what he was saying. Are we picking and choosing of which?
Yeah, when you're just a guy that's on a bunch of mediocre teams and you're chirping like crazy, it's kind of funny. But at some point, it's like media in general.
There's so many former players or former athletes that have comments like that.
Give me another guy that talks like that. Give me one.
Well, I mentioned Kendrick Perkins says a lot of things.
Not said anything like that. Nothing.
Kendrick Perkins on every single day.
Give me an example of what he said. Where he said this guy is a bum. This guy is a fugazi. Right?
He's a cone.
Right, a cone. There you go. Thank you, Emily. He's critical.
I'd have to think. To be honest with you, it's not fresh in my mind the way Patrick Beverley's been on for straight days.
Fair enough. Gabe Vincent would never do it. Gabe Vincent has a little dignity in class.
Listen,
that you learn in the Big West.
I don't disagree
when
that
you go about doing it.
I don't disagree that Pat Bev definitely runs his mouth, but it's not off suit to his brand.
No, it's not.
It's like
that,
perfectly.
That
perfectly.
I agree with you on that. He's perfectly. I'm just saying. I'm kind of over your flavor of ice cream. Like, I get it when you're selling it over here. Okay, fine. It's kind of funny. You're tweaking the Clippers when you knock them out. Fine. I get it. Your old team. I get it. But now it's LeBron, and now it's Chris Paul. It's like, dude, come on. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
UC Santa Barbara kind of owns the Eastern Conference right now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, do they? You know what's crazy?
They're not going to bring Kyle Lowry back.
You know what's crazy? Do they win that game last night without him? I'm not saying Jimmy Butler was the guy.
Yeah.
But do they win that game last night if Gabe Vincent doesn't give him what they gave him? Maybe
I don't
not.
Think anybody walked into the game saying, hey, this dude's going to fill in for Kyle Lowry and put up Kyle Lowry
right,
numbers. That's
right.
kind of what he did.
That's kind of what he did. And if he doesn't, let's say he goes out there and he's got the big eyes and he misses, you know, he goes 2 for 10 or whatever it might be and has 3 turnovers. He kind of bowed up a little bit. Mm-hmm. He played really, really
that's
well.
Your guy. You were throwing him out before.
We don't get a lot of them in the NBA. That's really not our area of expertise.
Malachi Flynn. I think that's the only San Diego State guy. I mean, I could be wrong.
Kawhi?
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
I mean, he's okay. You ever heard of him? Kawhi's
you know
pretty good.
You know why I even call out?
Because he hasn't played in 2 years.
Well, it's not even that. It's like the Malachi. You're just assuming it's a guy that's not going to be in rotation.
Yeah.
And then you got freaking Kawhi
Brian Shaw. Leonard. He had a nice long run. He's a Gaucho.
Santa Barbara,
right?
Yep.
There are guys, and they're taking off the Gauchos. And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about a little bit with Pat Beverly. You're going to need some guys that do some stuff. You're going to need great players. You're going to need a LeBron. You're going to need a Steph. You're going to need a Giannis, a Jimmy Butler, whatever. You got to have some other guys that are just going to kind of be there for you when you need them to be there for you. And that's what that guy did. That's what the Heat have a handful of those guys. The Celtics have a handful of those guys. You know, Peyton Pritchard can step in and have a nice game. What's the Williams guy? Not Robert Williams, the other guy.
Grant Williams.
Thank you. Grant Williams knocks down a bunch of threes in a game. The Lakers really never had that guy last year. Hey, listen, LeBron's doing his thing, and he's doing his thing, but hey, tonight I'll kind of carry some of this. I'll fill in the holes.
I think I could figure out what you were saying about Pat Bev. If Draymond Green is saying some of the stuff, even though I don't think he's going to say exactly what Pat Bev is saying, but if Draymond is saying it, you're saying, okay, that type of player, that role player.
Even if it's a guy like Iguodala, who's just been around, he's not a Hall of Fame. Just, I've been around this. I know what it looks like. I know what it takes. I'm not just blowing my own horn to hear the sound of my own voice or to get eyeballs or to get, you know, some positive feedback on ESPN. I get it.
ESPN, bring him back.
That's a different conversation.
Bring him back for another one.
Of course you bring him back. He keeps saying things that gets people pulling into the conversation. My point is that
the source matters. If you think some of this stuff is ridiculous that it's coming from him, there's also something to that.
To what?
So, you know, we're just saying, okay, well, ESPN's going to keep bringing him back because... Hey, we keep talking about him.
I'm not going to put anybody's name on anything right now because I like working here. There are some people that say things at ESPN that I pay no mind to at all. Mm-hmm. None. Because it's the source. No. There are other people that say
Okay.
Yeah.
Pay attention to that one.
Yeah. That's coming from a place that I respect, that I trust, that I understand. And there are some other guys that start saying things like, I get why you're here.
Yep.
I get the role that you're playing. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting anything. And that's kind of where Pat Beverly falls into. I get why you're here. I get why they put you back on. If I were producing Get Up and Greeny Show and all these things, yeah, come on in. Let's do it. Because it creates some, I'm saying for me, when you start to figure out whether or not this matters. Draymond, yes. Danny Green, yes. Iguodala, yes. Lillard, yeah, sure. Him? I get what you're doing. I'm just saying that I'm not going to pay it too much mind.
Barkley talks, we're listening. Shaq talks, we're
for
listening.
Sure. Kenny Smith, right? When you hear Jalen Rose, yeah, I'll listen to Jalen. Jalen's got some insight. Jalen's been around a long time. Jalen was on some really good teams. He's on some bad teams. I'll listen to it. Consider the source. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Little slow, Slee. I need like a 5% pickup on the pace for you to get back here for the opening of the Dump. you all right? You need a minute? A cold compress? Something to drag across your face, perhaps?
How long? 4 seconds late? What do you think that was?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot, but it's that the door fires open. It's heavy. You know,
I went to my car and I had to pick something up from Starbucks.
I will be going to Dodger Stadium in about a half an hour.
Why was
right
I
now.
Devastated about this?
By
you
what?
Ever do this? You go to went to Starbucks this morning, grab my cup of coffee, spinach feta wrap. I was going to grab one of those.
Those are good.
We're out.
Oh
yeah, but what's on display?
You don't want the display item.
No, I don't.
I'm like, ooh, yikes.
What I'm saying is, if it's on display, I'm thinking in my head, well, it's available because it's on display. She's like, yeah, we're out, buddy.
Yeah. Did you audible into something else? You get the sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich, the egg bites?
Nothing. I was already bitter then. I was like, just give me my coffee.
ESPN is making a 30 for 30 about the 2001 Ravens. That is the Super Bowl winning team. That is the Ray Lewis team, I think, that you know, Ray was involved in some stuff. To what degree? Who knows what it is? You there for that? Let's take aside the fact that the 30 for 30 teams that make these, they're excellent. There's only been a handful of them that really missed the mark for me. But is that a story you need to hear more about?
Am I going to watch it when it's released? I'm not. Now, oh my gosh, you got to watch this 30 for 30. It was so good. The Ravens, Ray Lewis, the story behind the scenes. You give me all that and you hype it up a little bit, I'll watch it. Is my knee-jerk reaction to go watch that? It's not.
Yeah, that's one that feels like, you know, I watched one the other day. They had the Greg Norman one on his Masters collapse, and it did the thing that I really hope doesn't happen when I watch these. Made me feel sorry for the guy that was involved in it. Like, I watched this thing, and let's put Greg Norman's rival golf tour aside for a second, because that makes you feel less sorry for him again very, very quickly. But I'm watching this, and you can tell this happened in 1994, something like that, so nearly 30 years ago. It's still just chewing that guy up from the inside. He just cannot get over the fact that it happened, and he's kind of sort of coming around to, I guess, you know, just my lot in life, but you could tell the devastation 30 years ago was still right there.
Let me give you an example. Is that one that you say, hey, next time you have a little bit of time, throw on the ESPN app, put it on, whatever, and watch it? Or would you say no?
I
don't need
you,
to like golf
for
to,
you,
to get into that.
For you, I would say it's a nope. Something you don't have to see. Okay. For anybody that has a passing interest in golf and the Masters, yes. Because you need to kind of have the thing of understand what the Masters means to those guys to really understand the devastation that goes
on. So
along
I'm going to use
it.
That one as an example. That sounds more interesting to me than the Baltimore Ravens one.
Yeah,
that one sounds more interesting because it's the Masters. Everything's on the line. Obviously, we know how important that specific tournament is. And then that you lose it in some type of collapsed fashion.
And he had multiple collapses. That one was the most epic of all of them.
But that's more interesting than the Ravens.
Bring your phone when you go to Costco. You can watch it as you walk through the aisles. You can stream it on your phone and you'll be ready to go.
Wear the socks.
The Astros tied a major league record 5 home runs in one inning yesterday. I don't think it was one inning, Emily, right? I think it was off one pitcher. I don't know. Maybe. Double check that one.
I think
it
was an inning.
Was it one inning?
Yeah, I think it was.
But Nathan Eovaldi, former Dodger farmhand, he gave up 5 home runs. Here's what's so weird about this. I mentioned this to you this morning. Channel Park gave up 2 grand slams to the same hitter in one inning.
Yep.
Okay, giving up 2 grand slams in a game is pretty difficult to do because you're not pitching so well if you're giving up grand slams. Gave up 2 to Fernando Tatis Sr. along the way. You have to be a good player to get
really
clubbed like that.
That's
you
really
have to be a really good player to have a record that ignominious.
To think that right out the gate, right? You say to yourself, oh, well, that pitcher must suck. Well, if they're giving him this many opportunities, you mentioned Chan Ho, if you're getting another crack at the plate and you already gave up a grand slam, it's saying we have confidence that we think this guy is going to get out of his own jam. That's a good example of that one.
It's a fluke. He's not that guy. Bang, there goes another one. Oh, maybe it's not his day today. Bang, there's number 3. Like, okay, we need to start
it's
thinking.
Still early.
Thinking about getting, but you probably don't even have anybody up at that point. So now you got to get a guy going. Bang, number 4. It's like, okay, we got to do something about this. Tell the bullpen get going. Bang, number 5. I mean, it's crazy because usually if you have a guy after 2, you're like, okay, let's go. Yeah. Let's get this thing.
You can see where it's getting loose or whatever.
There's two things that I feel confident saying records will never come down. Like people talk about Cal Ripken. It's possible someday somebody could play 20 years, never, unlikely, but 56 games in a row, Major League Baseball hitting streak, Joe DiMaggio. Possible somebody could stay hot for 2 months and get a hit in every game. Chan Ho Park's record is never getting beat. No one's given up 3, Al. No one has given up 3 along the way. Johnny Vandermeer, who pitched for the Cincinnati Reds a billion years ago, threw back-to-back no-hitters. Two consecutive starts, he threw two no-hitters. Now you'd have to throw three to break that record. Those are the two that I'm 100% sure are not coming down.
That's pretty good.
Hang in there, Nathan Eovaldi. There's always there. I can almost guarantee you won't give up five home runs in an inning the next time you do.
What do you think he's thinking? He gives up three. It's like, I just gave up three home runs in one inning, and then there's still two more left to go.
There has to be a point.
By the fifth one, are you kind of taking yourself out?
Are you
just starting to walk towards saying, hey, this thing's over?
My arm, like Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. Last night, Hanser Alberto pitched the ninth inning for the Dodgers. He's one of their utility infielders. He's a hitter. He's not a pitcher. He was throwing 50 miles an hour. He gave up one run. Give up one.
We saw Albert. Remember, Albert, I watched the entire inning.
He gave
inning.
Up a couple of home runs, though.
Gave up two home runs.
Right? But Hanser Alberto got through an inning with one run. He's an infielder. Okay, Nathan Eovaldi is a highly compensated major league pitcher.
Gave up five home runs.
He gave up five home runs in one inning. And baseball is pretty dumb like that. ESPN is a multi-year broadcast partner with, Slee, the XFL. What do you think about that?
You and I have talked about this. ESPN getting involved makes it interesting. But to be honest with you, it's really, really tough to get me to go watch any of these other leagues. I got my leagues. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, we have so many other things we could be doing, streaming services now. There's so many things to watch.
Am I like it as a lab.
Myself doing it?
I like it as a lab. I don't like it for, ooh, that's a great football player. The best football players would be in the NFL. But as a lab to experiment with things, to experiment with television, with broadcasting, with rules.
Will you do it? Will you watch it?
Dude, can I tell you a dirty little secret? I'm probably one of 10 people on earth. I have found myself watching the USFL for more than 30 seconds at a time on weekends. Flipping around, you'll see it. I'll watch it for 10 or 15. I'm not watching the whole game, don't get me wrong. But I'll watch it for 10 or 15. The rules are wacky. The play
10 or 15 minutes?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
For football that looks like that's a long time. High school football, I like it as a lab. I don't know if I'd love to see it on a regular, but that ES. By the way, if ESPN's behind it, you're going to see a lot of
it. That's interesting.
That's the way that it goes. Spencer Dinwiddie has a $1 bonus in his contract if the Mavs win the title. $1, right? That's probably, you know what? I need a bonus. Throw this in there for a single buck. What little bonus would you want? What do you want? What do you want
that's
for a dollar?
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's got a dollar in his bonus to winning a championship.
He'll say yes to it. Maybe he could have asked for five.
Who's his agent?
A bad one.
A dollar?
Yeah.
It was originally himself. With the Wizards because he said they would never win a title. So that was the his contract was left over from the Wizards.
I don't think anybody thought the Mavs were title contenders when he made the move over there.
That's a vote of confidence. Walking into the Wizards, we're not winning anything. Throw a dollar bonus.
Throw it in there. It is time for Super Crosstalk. Mace, I'm headed to the Dodger game here
in a few minutes.
Got about 15, 20 minutes from right now. I'm headed out the door. A little businessman special to see the D-backs and the Dodgers.
Got your cap on. I assume you're going as a fan, not as a media.
I am.
You're going as a civilian.
I am going as a civilian.
He curses like crazy at these games.
My goal is I'm going to post a picture so that anybody that may be going to the game knows what I look like. Okay. I don't think a lot of people know what I look like.
No one else will be wearing a Dodger hat.
No. Yeah. My face.
I'm the one in the Dodgers hat.
My face. I want to troll for some ass sleaze. I want a couple of people at the Dodger game.
I told him
to
just
come
give up
and bring
his seat.
Me some
if he
ass
just tells people where his seat is, they'll come
by.
Yeah,
they're not my tickets to do that with, so I don't know if the people
whose
that are
tickets.
Willing, it, like, a friend of mine has a hookup amongst the Dodgers that they're taking care of us today.
But are you going with the friend?
Yes.
Okay.
Loge?
Yeah. Field level.
In the
where you get to eat?
Dugout club?
No, not the dugout.
Have you ever done that?
I have.
That thing is unbelievable.
It's a pretty good set. Al, you were talking about that.
You don't have to eat for like 2 days.
Yeah, well,
I used to see Tommy Lasorda down there all the time. Lasorda would just lay into that prime rib like you would not believe. He was there every time I was ever in the dugout club.
That might be the best setup. I mean, just think about it.
Really good.
It's not that, you know, you go to Rams, you go to a suite or something like that, or you're at Crypto, you're in a suite. The freaking that setup to where you literally are just walking up and then all of a sudden it's a game, you walk down and everything you could possibably ask for from a food and a drink perspective, that's probably
all
the best setup.
Well, LAFC, we're going tonight.
Oh, nice.
And they've got a club that's a little bit like that, that's really, really nice. And we're actually watching the game. Thank you to Jacob and Ronnie. We're watching the game from Jacob's suite tonight.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, and by the way, who's the Falconer, the honorary Falconer guy tonight? Meta World Peace.
Is he really?
Yeah.
You've done that, right?
I have done that.
Is it scary?
It is thrilling.
Okay.
No, it is a...
How does the Falcon know to come right to your hand?
Did you put your hand down to confuse him a little bit?
Threw up some. No, they set the Falcon on your arm.
Okay.
And then the Falcon takes off, and it doesn't come back to your arm. It goes and attacks a target with the other team's logo on it.
Okay, so you just walk out there with the Falcon.
You walk out there with the Falcon, and it is intimidating because that bird, I mean, you talk about sharp, you know, you've got a grip on
it. Is it like 10 pounds? I mean, how big? They look
light.
Enormous.
They're super light.
Okay.
Yeah, super light. It was a thrill. That whole night was a thrill. My mom and not stepdad Leo were there. They got introduced. It was Pride Night, which was really, really cool to be part of that. We met Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell said to my mom, "I've heard you on the radio." It made my mom's, I mean, seriously, it was so cool.
It's funny you say that. Sleaze heard me tell this story. You guys may have heard me tell it too. Key and Elsie and I were doing an event at the bank.
He tells it every morning.
Now, you took over after they ran off Sedano, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, I came in after that.
I like to make sure I know the timeline.
That.
This story, he brings it up once a week.
It's one of my favorite stories.
Ireland and I do that all the time.
We never repeat stories, Mason, or Ireland.
I've never repeated a story.
We're standing there doing the show, and we're facing the crowd,
and
this person walks in the back of the room, and he's, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 yards away, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, it looks a lot like Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And he gets a little closer, and I realize it is Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of make eye contact with each other, and I kind of motion to the empty seat, like, hey, would you like to come and do it? And he shrugs his shoulders, comes on over, does a great segment. It was awesome. So we go to break, and I said to him, I said, hey, you know, what made you see? He goes, well, I was just listening to you guys coming, dropping my kids off at school.
Awesome.
And it was one of those, wait, Will Ferrell listens to
Will Ferrell? He listens to Station on Time. I met him in New Orleans, and I walked up to him, and I said, hey, Will, I'm... And before I get my name out, he goes, John Ireland.
Wow. Maybe that's the answer to the question. What's that moment for you? Like, wait, you know who I am? You know what I do? You listen to what I do?
Okay, well, number one, he went to high school at University High in Irvine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're down there now. Orange County's not that big. And he's a big sports fan.
Yeah.
And
so.